June 28, 9506 BC.
You shouldn't be here.
Orion swallowed hard at his father's words. She's my wife, Solrin. I owe her this honor. Yet as he moved forward to light the pyre where Sheba's washed and shrouded body had been placed and her eyes covered with coins, he stumbled. Paris and his father caught him. Grateful Orion didn't argue as they assisted him toward the tall structure that Apollyme had used her powers to build in the center courtyard, where the damned had once been tortured under the iron fist of the Atlantean god Misos. And perhaps they still were. He certainly felt like it tonight as he climbed up to do his final duty for Sheba. For he was emotionally wrecked, physically weak, gutted. Too young to be this tired and defeated. Tears filled his eyes as he saw the beautiful corpse of a once proud queen. Dressed in her white orichalcum armor, she appeared to be at peace, finally. Dressed in white to honor and mourn her, Orion kissed the Mayvillo, Apollyme's sacred black rose, and placed it in Sheba's hands, which held her sword. You were ever a great and mighty warrior, a beautiful lady, and an inspiration to us all. I shall miss your company every day I live without it. With those words spoken, he climbed down. Then he and Paris and his wife's two remaining bodyguards shot lit arrows up to set fire to her perch. Silent tears of guilt and anger fell as he watched the hungry flames take root and spread over the structure. His father clapped him on the back and pulled him close.
We shall avenge her.
How? Rumors claimed it was Helios behind the attack, yet another god out to end them, which made sense given the armor he'd seen on their attackers. The only question was why? Sheba and her people had stayed out of Greek territory for the most part. There'd been no reason for a Greek god to strike against the Marzani. It made no sense. Through his own pain, Orion heard his children crying. Pulling away from his father, he went to Jairus and knelt by his side. The boy threw himself into Orion's arms so that he could weep there. Orion closed his eyes and held him.
It's all right, Jeremu.
What if they'd kill you, Baba?
He kissed the boy's cheek.
Your Baba doesn't go down easy. It'll take more than a Greek god to bring me low.
Nefeli didn't speak. She merely fisted her hands in his hair and held on to him as if afraid to let go.
Goodness, child, why do you tremble so?
Still not a single sound from her. Worried about her, Orion let go of Jairus, so that he could stand and pull her close.
Neff?
Her lips quivered, but she kept them pressed tightly together as she wound her fists in his cloak. Orion held her by his side, assuming she was merely upset, like her brother, over the fact that he'd been badly injured and that they'd barely escaped the raid. No one else spoke until after the fire began to burn low, and not until after the pyre had collapsed. Only then did Apollyme's Charante come in to finish the ceremony, where Sheba's remains would be gathered and taken to Apollyme's sacred garden to be scattered in her orchard. The same garden and orchard where Zin lived. He still hadn't seen her, and he was hurt that she hadn't come for this. In truth, he'd expected her in the crowd. She'd always shown before whenever he needed her. Never had she failed him. Until today. But as he lost count of how many came up to him to share their condolences, she wasn't among them, and it hurt so badly that it was almost unfathomable. Indeed, he felt gutted, and the faces of the others and their words were lost to his own grief as he mumbled what he hoped was an appropriate response. He remembered nothing, really, just the smell of pungent ash that stung his throat and burned his eyes, the hollow ache in his gut, and the deep, stinging pain of a friend who couldn't be bothered to put aside their spiteful words to check on him.
Come on, Magios. You should rest.
This time, Orion didn't protest when his father took him home. Paris was the first to ask the insensitive question everyone else had avoided around Orion. Why didn't Sheba decay like we do when we die? Theo punched him in the arm.
God, you're an asshole! Have some brains! Your brother's in pain and you'd ask him that seriously? What is wrong with you?
He grimaced at Orion.
Say the word and I'll beat his ass.
Orion sighed. It's okay. Truth is, I don't know why they don't. I think it's because of Goshai the Deathless. He's a trickster god. Would make sense that he wants to play havoc with Apollo. That's my theory, anyway.
He entered his father's home and drew up short at the sight of a group of his wife's guards, a small remnant of those who'd survived their attack, small being the operative word. So few had been left. A pathetic number, really. They immediately bowed to him. Orion frowned.
Why are you here, Keisha?
The tallest blonde came forward with a blue-tinted bottle.
We have nowhere else to go, Majesty. They've destroyed our home, annihilated our people. You are still our king. We await your orders.
How weird. He hadn't considered that they would look to him for leadership and guidance, especially since Sheba had never treated him as anything more than a favor decoration. He glanced over to his father. For the first time in a long while, he felt like a child again, like a lost little boy. A part of him wanted to ask his father what to do, if he should stay or go, but he curbed that petulant child and forced himself to meet his father like an equal. Orion knew what to do. Most of all, he knew what Sheba's people needed.
Do I have your permission to bring our survivors here, Solren?
His father appeared offended by the question.
So be it.
Orion took the bottle.
We shall find a place to rebuild.
Are you insane?
His father snapped. Of course you can stay here. I glared at you because I couldn't believe you thought you had to ask me for something that was a given. You know that you're always welcomed in my home.
Oh. Now he felt even dumber than he had a moment ago. Shaking his head, Orion glanced back to Keisha.
Send for the others, and we'll see them settled.
Thank you, Majesty.
With another bow, she and the others rose and quickly left. As soon as they were gone, his brothers and father stepped closer to examine his bottle.
What is it? Did they bring you blood?
Orion smiled wistfully at their curiosity, as he remembered the first time Sheba had served it to him.
Sort of,
he uncorked it.
It's blood mead.
They also have sanguine wine, and yes, even Apolytes can drink this. You'll like it, trust me. He took a drink directly from the bottle, then passed it over to them. In the beginning, they were skittish, but once they tasted the wine, they had the same reaction he'd had the first time he tried it. Utter delight, followed by gluttony, as no Apolyte or Daemon had ever known such before. Normally, whenever they tried to eat or drink anything other than each other's blood, their bodies rejected it, courtesy of his grandfather Apollo. Food and drink made them violently ill, not this. Somehow, Sheba's brewers had found a way to mix the right proportions so that their bodies would accept the drink just as if they'd never been cursed. It was wonderful to finally have some form of variety to their diets. All of a sudden they heard a loud commotion outside, punctuated by angry shouting and a lot of threats of bodily harm to anyone who didn't withdraw immediately. Fury darkened his father's eyes, but Orion recognized the deep cadence of that unmistakable baritone.
Wait!
Orion teleported outside in time to see the massive beast of a warrior about to take the heads off three daemons who were dumb enough to confront him, because they assumed this belligerent newcomer was a Trelos in their midst. Not that Orion blamed them. Given his rage and demeanor, it would be a natural assumption, but this was no Trelos. He was something a whole lot deadlier.
Almost 7 feet tall, with golden blonde hair, he made a fierce sight. His muscled shoulders would be wide enough on their own, but covered with armor and war-matted furs, those shoulders promised a crushing blow to anyone who angered this beast of a man. And it was only part of the reason why he'd been termed the Widowmaker. Well, that, and the two massive double-headed axes strapped to his back, that he was not only a master of using, but way too quick to make use of. And usually, for no other reason than he was mildly perturbed. Curling his lips, the Widowmaker headed for the first daemon who neared him.
Run!
Orion shouted.
Halt!
He hesitated, as if he still wanted a piece of the one who'd annoyed him, then turned slowly to face Orion.
Where's my sister?
Orion flinched at the pain-filled question and hated that he had to be the one to gut the man who loved his sister dearly. Choking on his guilt, he closed the distance between them. I'm sorry. The agony that haunted those steel-blue eyes was searing. Of all the people in the world, Ruin had loved Sheba more than anyone. She was all the family he had. Throwing his head back, he let loose a thunderous, pain-filled roar, one that caused several of their men to rush forward. Orion held his hand up to stop them, then he shook his head. I should have sent word to you again. I'm so sorry. Before he could respond, they were joined by his father, who eyed Ruin suspiciously.
Who is this?
Sheba's half-brother, Ruin. Orion had barely spoken those words before Apollyme appeared in her full destroyer form, black on black, with her red eyes glowing. Hurricane force winds swept through the whole of Colossus, knocking most of them to the ground and sending bodies flying. Stryker caught Orion to keep him from being harmed and anchor them to the side of a building with his powers. But what stunned and shocked Orion most was a sight he'd never seen before. Faster than anyone could blink, Ruin manifested a long wooden staff that he planted in the ground at his feet. At the top was a silver hand holding an oblong ball that opened to reveal a large green eye. From an indefinable source, a low-pitched cry built to a shrill war cry that drove the goddess back. More than that, it forced all the Caronte with her to their knees. A bright orange light shot out from the center of the eye in all directions. It glowed as bright as a sun, and it caused the daemons and Appellites to shrink away in total fear. Only then did Ruin lift it over his head, so that he could scan them all. He turned a slow circle, as if looking through the crowd for someone who might attack him. Once he was satisfied that everyone was quelled, he turned back toward Apollyme. She was once again pale and frigid in her appearance.
I come in peace, Apollyme.
Orion arched a brow at the strange way he pronounced her name. It sounded more like Apple-me instead of their way, Apollyme. She sneered at him. Yet you dare to ground my Caronte. What kind of peace is that? Ruin offered her a charming grin.
I'm the son of a demon, am I not?
Her look turned to ice. You are indeed, and every bit as worthless and treacherous. His humor died instantly, as hatred settled across his face and turned his features to stone.
There is no need to be insulting. You and my father were allies once.
And when I needed him most, he turned his back. She spat on the ground at Ruin's feet. You're lucky he cares nothing for you. Otherwise, I'd send you back to him in pieces. Orion didn't miss the pain those cruel words caused to flare inside Ruin's eyes. A deep-seated torment he quickly hid.
Again. My quarrel is not with you, goddess. I only wanted to pay respects to my sister and her husband.
She flung her hand out, and this time her powers lashed across him like a razor whip, cutting deep into his flesh and leaving his clothes split and his body bleeding. You ever breach my portal again without an invitation or key, dog, and I will send your head home to your father and your heart to your mother.
To his credit, Roon barely reacted to the pain of that blow, which had to be agonizing. Rather, he stood stalwart before the angry goddess and inclined his head.
Understood.
And then he had the audacity to turn his back on her and walk toward Orion, who didn't miss the white-knuckled grip he had on his staff that said he was barely keeping his temper in check. Pushing himself away from his father, Orion moved closer to his brother-in-law.
I'm sorry, Rue.
He wiped at the blood on his chest and shrugged.
I can handle physical pain.
Glancing back at Apollyme, he curled his lip.
Hers is no better or worse than my own mother's loving touch.
Then his gaze turned stormy again.
Did she suffer?
Nay. The attack was too quick. Orion removed the necklace he wore that had belonged to his wife and handed it to Roon. A strange blending of her family, the amulet was a design of Thor's hammer with a wolf and raven.
She would want you to have this more than me.
Orion tightened his grip on Ruin's hand.
I'll also cede kingship to you. By all rights, it's more yours than mine, and I know she'd much rather see you as the leader of her people.
Tears gathered in Ruin's eyes. His hand trembled.
Why would you give up a throne?
He smiled. I'm Greek. Apollymean. The Marzani were Sheba's. And I know what you did. He projected his thoughts to Ruin.
Sheba told me the sacrifice you made so that she could live longer in spite of Apollo's curse. What you did to save her tribe.
He tightened his hand on Ruin's.
As Sheba said, we will always be allies. You and I will always be brothers. And while I may fight with my brothers over trivial things, I will never screw one over, especially not for something as inconsequential as a throne.
Ruin yanked him forward into his embrace and held him for a long minute. Orion felt his hot tears as he silently wept. With a ragged breath, Ruin pounded Orion twice on his back and stepped away to clear his throat and wipe at his eyes. Gruffly, he pulled his own necklace off and extended it toward Orion.
That is my mark. You need me, brother. You call and I will come. No matter what, no matter when.
He chucked Orion on the arm.
Remember, all roads lead to Ruin.
Orion snorted at his bad pun. Then he sobered and cut a dark, serious grimace toward Orion's family.
And let me leave you with one bit of advice, little brother, as I've lived a lot longer than both of you. Remember that you serve your goddess today, but loyalty given is seldom returned. Take it from a survivor of the Primus Bellum. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who we swear our fealty to. We're just a bunch of demons to them. Useless things they will cast off and leave to die without a second thought. Me, Caleb, Dagon, Shadow, Zev, countless others. They thought nothing of us. Yet we sacrificed everything we had to the Colossum to make sure they'd win. Even though we were born to serve the darkness of the Mavromino, we fought for the Colossum's light. In the end, those who were supposed to be good, who were supposed to reward us for our service and had promised to do so, turned their backs on us and chose not to see us for who and what we really are. Instead of looking into our hearts and seeing what we'd given and lost, they threw us aside like garbage. When all was said and done, they were no better than the ones they'd hated. And for all the reasons they hated the other side. So be careful where you lay your trust, and twice as careful who you serve. It's not so much don't bite the hand that feeds you, as to make sure you sever your master's hand before it has a chance to strike you down for no reason other than they judge you unworthy of breathing their air.
Rune sighed as he settled Sheba's necklace over his heart.
It is ever the saddest indictment against humanity that they cannot live in peace. Too many believe the path to happiness can only be achieved by walking over those around them, when the truth is so much simpler.
If you can't be happy alone, you'll never be happy in a crowd. Orion said the words before Ruin had a chance, as they were something Sheba had often spoken to him. It was the philosophy their mother had raised them on. Ruin nodded.
If you can't stand yourself, why should you expect anyone else to? And if you seek to cause harm to others, it will always return to cause harm to you.
He was right about that.
Take care of yourself, little brother. I hope we meet again.
And with that, he was gone. While everyone slowly and nervously dispersed, Apollyme made her way toward Orion. How is your son, Stricarius? His father rubbed his back.
As well as can be expected.
He looks as if he needs to feed. Orion felt his face heat up at those words, given their personal nature. At least, that was the one good thing to come out of his two marriages. No one feared feeding him anymore. Now he had women lining up to give him their blood, men, too, and not just Davin. It was actually quite disconcerting how many wanted a piece of him. I'm fine, Akra. If you have a moment, then, I should like to ask you about your attack. His father opened his mouth to protest, but Orion interrupted. I'll be fine, Solrin, just a moment.
Are you sure?
He nodded. His father reluctantly allowed Orion to follow Apollyme back to her palace. She didn't speak until they were alone inside the marbled walls and out of the sight of prying eyes. Then she turned to face him with a probing stare. Was it Helios, as they claim?
It could have been, but in all honesty, the attack was swift and fierce. I barely saw it before I was down.
She cursed under her breath. Keep your eyes peeled, Orion. There is much danger around us. Already, I've found one traitor and killed them.
For Helios?
She nodded. He's after your grandfather and Rezar. He scowled at her words. While he understood why the Titan sun god would want to kill Apollo, who'd replaced him, there was no one alive who didn't understand and know about that grudge match. Rezar was different. One of the oldest primal gods, he should have the powers to destroy Helios. Why would the Titan be so stupid as to pick a fight he couldn't win?
I don't understand.
And it's good that you don't. That will keep you alive. Just know that if you hear anything more about Helios, bring it to me.
Always, Akra.
Good. Now go. Orion started away, then hesitated. Before I go, may I ask one thing? She arched a brow at that. The dragon who guards your garden, her eyes flashed red. You needn't worry over her anymore. She's no longer here. And with that, she vanished. Those clipped words hit him like daggers through his flesh. They were a staggering blow that caused him to step back as he reeled from pain. Gone? How could Zin be gone? Orion stood without moving as he tried to come to grips with what Apollyme had just told him. A million questions ran through his head. Had she died? Been killed? What the hell did Apollyme mean she was no longer there? Unable to accept that, he teleported to Saraxin's cave so that he could see for himself what was going on and to make sure it was the truth, because honestly, he couldn't accept it. He refused to accept it. Until he saw the truth with his own eyes. Her cave was empty. She was gone, and there was no trace left of his once beautiful dragon. Not a scale, not a scuff on the floor. It was as if she'd never been. And that tore his heart asunder. It bled pain through every molecule of his body. How could this have happened? Tears blinded him. As his memories slammed into him, and he cursed himself for not coming home sooner to see her. For not ever apologizing. She was human, and I treated her like shit. Hurt and wounded, he felt so guilty for everything he'd ever said or done. How could he have let them part like this? She'd been so important to him. Why hadn't he told her that just once? I'm an asshole. Regret burned so deep inside him for everything that had gone unsaid. He'd hurt her. And now there was no way to make amends. Never harm a heart that loves you, for there are too many in this world that are out to cause you pain. His mother's words haunted him now. She'd been right. He'd wounded Zin for what? His own vanity? My own stupidity? For that, he deserved to be alone. Because in his heart, he knew he'd never have anyone else who could come close to his dragon. How could he? It wasn't every day a guy met a woman who had those kinds of skills, a woman who made him feel like he could fly, whose smile made his heart sing. How could he have given that up for anything? Cold and alone? He'd started to leave when he caught a strange glimmer in the corner. Scowling, he headed toward it to see what it was. How odd. Embedded in the wall of the cave was the small necklace Zin always wore. She'd called it her dragon's tear. And in a small leather bag was a folded note. His hand shook as he unfolded it and then began to read the sweet, flowing script.
My dearest Orion, while you were gone, my brother has secured my freedom. I don't know if you'll ever come back here or even think of me. You've no idea how many times I've regretted what happened between us. That last night I saw you. I miss my best friend in so many ways. There's not a day that has passed without you in it when I haven't carried your face in my heart. And I will do so until the day I die. Wherever you are, I hope you're happy. And I hope your wife knows how very lucky she is to have you as her own. That is the one thing I wish I could have called you, just once. Please take care of yourself. And if you do think of me, I hope you'll forgive my words that were spoken in anger. And that one day, maybe, you can think of me and smile again. Just remember that I will always love you. Ever yours, Zin.
Unable to bear the guilt and pain, Orion closed his eyes and choked on his tears. He sank to his knees and cursed himself for having left in anger. What have I done? How could I have been so stupid? She was a dragon. There was no way he'd ever be able to find her again.